Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful and powerful presence in this night of incredible worship. It's hard to stop when you're here like this. Thank you for the nearness of your presence, and thank you for helping me to deliver what you want me to deliver tonight. In your precious name, amen. Wow, that was really powerful. Was it to you? That was really powerful. It was powerful and it was beautiful. And I'm hearing Pastor Matt over here just worshiping the Lord like a little child. And the thought entered my mind that we need the African American people to teach us how to really worship Jesus. I just think that's so true, because they're so free. They're so free. We really appreciate Pastor Matt allowing us to have the services in his church. That was just beautiful. I especially like that song. From you are all things, to you are all things. I want to share with you a vision I had that goes with that song. Oh boy, I could hardly stand it. I just wanted to be on my face. Did you guys feel like that too? I mean, the Spirit was just gripping my heart so hard I couldn't bear it. I just kept crying. You are worthy of it all. See? I don't even have to sing it. Just say it. I had a vision. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. The Lord will bless you and we will bless you. I had a vision a short time ago, maybe. I think it's been less than 2 weeks. And in this vision, I saw the army of light, and the army of light were the intercessors. And they were marching along with their swords held high. And their swords were like laser beam swords. Swords of light is what they were. And they kept singing, "You are worthy of it all. Oh, Lord our God, you are worthy of it all." And the thing that they were praising him for was that God delivered America. And not one intercessor took the glory. It was all to him. And I asked the Lord, "What is this army? This is so beautiful," because they kept singing those same words over and over again with their swords held high. And he said, "This is the army of light, my intercessors in the earth." So what a compliment, huh? The Lord, as I was sitting there spoke to me and said to me that he wants me to have a service again August 7th. So I want to invite you to our next dinner. On the 7th of August, same time. Whether you're online or whether you are here, again, it will be prophetic. He has much to say in a little time to say it. So it's just amazing, you know. Elizabeth can tell you, I spend my days and nights in bed. When I'm home, I can't stand up 10 minutes. I don't have the strength to do any more than that. But when I'm here, apparently I can stand for an hour and a half. It really is amazing. It isn't. I won't even go into the details. What a miracle it is that I can be here when he says do it. It is nothing short of a miracle. And it just really lets me know how important it is to him that he has a mouthpiece to say what he wants to say through me. And so he just nudges me out of bed. You think I'm kidding. He nudges me out of bed, tells me, go do. So I've quit asking him if he's sure that I have the strength. Because it doesn't matter where I am at home. It only matters that I get up in faith and let him sustain me here. So, and I know your hunger for truth is what makes him do it. He wants to satisfy your heart. A bunch of intercessors called our office the last time and told us that they were listening to our message and some messages from another prophet who was speaking right around the same time. And said, it's amazing how much of what you're saying is similar. So God is coagulating the prophetic word into one so that we can be sure that it is him that is talking. Praise God. Now, what I have to say to you tonight is both good and I guess it's all good, you know, because may I share an experience with you? You don't want to hear it. This is about the goodness of God, and it's going to shock you. It's not, his goodness is not what is so often taught in the church. They leave out a whole very important part. Of course, the church will tell you the good part, I mean the easy part, the comfortable part. But I dare say probably most people do not understand that the severity of God fits into the category of his goodness. But yet, that is true. I had come home from Israel. Before I got sick, I used to go over there many times a year and spend weeks in prayer. For Israel, it was like going home as much to me is coming home to America, partially because of my Jewish roots and partially because I spent so much time there praying. But this time I came home And I had had many visitations from the Lord in Israel, and all of them pertained to his, you might say, his chastening of Israel. And how it fit into the category of his goodness. He even took me to hell. Isn't that wonderful? Not. I've been to hell many times, and believe me, it is never fun. It's horrible. But this time I was going to meet the many Jewish people that were locked in the cages in hell because they had rejected Messiah. So many visitations, a lot of ways trying to get my attention, trying to pull me out of this idea that God isn't in the division of the land of Israel. He is in it, and he's in it because he loves my people so much that he's going to take away every prop until they turn their eyes upon Jesus. And we can handle that, right? Yes. Say yes. Yes. So anyway, all these visitations saying basically the same thing, just in different ways. And I got home, I returned home, and the very night that I returned home, I was in my bed praying, and I had an experience. The Lord took me up into himself, took me up into, I don't know how to say this, I don't know how to, I don't know how to say this. I'll do the best I can. Took me up into himself. And in being in himself, I was in the realm of the spirit. And there was like no ending to this place. It didn't have an ending. But I was in God. I wasn't just in the realm of the spirit. I was in God. You know, God is every place, right? There isn't any place he isn't. And I learned it that night in a very practical way. So he took me up and what happened? Oh, this, I've got to, first of all, he said to me, there's no way I can make the drama like he does. You know, he's really a drama king. He is, and I'm not being irreverent, he knows how to make drama. No Hollywood director has ever, can even come close to him when he wants to make drama. So he sent forth his word to me, and the word that he sent forth was, it is the goodness of God that divides the land of Israel. And when he said that, those words entered into my being, and my spirit expanded to the point that it felt like it was going to burst like a balloon. Every cell in my body felt like they were being maxed out, and that I was going to, my flesh was going to burst like a balloon. It was frightening. But he didn't feel like he'd made his point yet. So he said it again. Sent forth his word into me, saying, it is my goodness that divides the land of Israel. And this time, I was just sent into oblivion. That's when I was sent up into the spirit And I was in not just the world of the spirit, but I was in God. God, who is ever present. There is no age. He is not present in every moment. And I am up there in God. But I'm not just up there in God. I am flying. I am being shot from one place to another as he keeps saying the same thing. And every time he says it, it's like a laser beam or like a cannonball, like a divine cannonball that shoots into me, shoots light through every part of my being until I am stretched beyond comprehension. I mean, it was painful. And that's another thing, you know, not all of God's experiences are fun. But he keeps saying the same thing over and over again. And every time I have these, I'm shot someplace else in God. I was taken clear back to the beginning of time. I was taken to the time that Noah built his ark. And I saw the deep breaking up, the fountains of the deep breaking up. I could hear them breaking up. I saw, it was like being in a what do they call the IMAX theaters? Where it's surround sound, everything is greatly amplified. Well, that's what it was like. I'm watching the fountains of the deep break up. And I'm seeing the water rise up out of those fountains, helping to cause the flood. And the Lord said it again, as in the beginning, so will it be in the days ahead. It is my goodness that divides the land of Israel. Now, if you've had an experience like that, how many people can come and convince you that you're wrong? I have been toe-to-toe with Jewish friends in the land, and they don't like what I have to say at all. But it is his goodness. It is his love. Why? Because I'm telling you the truth. The Jewish people in the land consider that to be the day of rest. And as long as they have their land untouched, they're not looking for a Messiah. So he has to touch the golden cow. And in the same way, God has to touch the golden cow in America. In touching it, it's going to affect the whole world. There is no country that is going to be left undone any more than there was in 2008. It's going to touch the whole world. God is not doing this. Man is. But God's going to use it to help us. He's going to use it to bring forth from behind the veil the evil Illuminati. You know, it's like the travail of a baby being born out of the womb. It's like the birth pains that opens the veil for the baby to come forth. And those birth pains, for most, are so incredibly painful. I mean, you're just screaming your head off, right? And at that time, you're not thinking about, oh joy, I can't wait till I can do this again and have another baby. You're making promises every second. Never another child. Never. Never. I will never go through this again. Now, Artem's wife didn't go through the pains because she believed God not to, and he honored her faith. I also have a niece that was walking on the sidewalk when she had the baby without pain. But those are few and far in between, right? And in the same way, this next crisis is going to be like a birth pain. But the veil it's going to open is the truth of those who caused it. And finally, this nation is going to rise up and say, we have been asleep. What in the world has been going on behind our backs that we refuse to believe, that we refuse to listen to? We have been asleep. And it's going to awaken the nation to the need for Christ. So that all that the elite wanted to do through this little incident is going to prove to be, is going to prove to do just the opposite. They're wanting to bring America into captivity, but it's going to awaken the American people to such a degree that they're going to be ready to fight for their righteousness and for their liberty. I don't know that it could, I don't know that anything else could do quite what this is going to do, and that's why God's going to allow it. Plus, you know, this is America's golden cow. We have shoved our economic ways into the face of nations all over the earth and really let them know that if you're going to do business with us, you're going to do it our way. So we have kindly planted networks of the American way all over the earth. And that has to be broken. Amen? Okay, I've got so much to give to you tonight, and I don't think I'm going to give it all, since he told me to come back on the 7th. Let's start with man's plans, Eli, please. Boy, that song just keeps going over and over in my head. Are we going to do that in the gathering? I hope. Oh, so powerful. Let's go first to the wringer washer. Do you guys, any of you remember the old wringer washers? Not something you'd want to put your hand through, right? Strokes that wound. Then you have the scriptures, Proverbs 20:30, Jeremiah 30:17, and Isaiah 30:26. And basically what the Lord is saying here is the strokes that wound are going to be strokes that heal. The Lord is going to go into the places that corruption has destroyed. And he's going to heal our nation through this wringer washer. And when I had the vision, I was here in the pulpit, and I saw the American flag put into the wringers, and it was just sopping wet. But when it came out the other side, it was shining with the light of heaven. And it was glorious and beautiful. Strokes that wound will be our healing. Write this down. Pray about it. Remember it. Don't forget it. Because when times get really rough for a little while, you're going to think, he hasn't heard one of our prayers. But you forget, and you will forget, that what you were praying was, heal our land. Heal our land, O God. And no one knows how to be a healer more than he does. He knows exactly where the roots of the things are. He knows what is keeping America from his glory. He knows what it's going to take to help us break free of that. He knows it all. And in knowing, he's going to give us the strokes that will wound. He's answering your prayer. Write that down. When the difficulties come, he's answering our prayer. Is he sending those difficulties? Not the ones I'm going to discuss with you now. Man is doing this, and it's important to separate man from God in what's coming. But you know, Joseph's brothers were not too cool, right? They were not too cool. But God used their evil for good. Not only for Joseph, but for Egypt, for Israel, the whole family, the whole tribe, and for many nations in the earth at that time. It didn't seem like anything was happening that could help anybody. They were strokes that were wounding until it didn't seem like it could wound any deeper. Joseph felt the irons of the wounds go deep into his soul. That's what the Bible tells us. So he was hurting, and it didn't look like there was any way that God would ever bring grace and glory into this horrible situation. It looked like man was in control, like Joseph has been, and that he would never see his family again. His dreams, how could his dreams come to pass? You know how people think when they get in trouble, right? And when trouble comes to this nation, we cannot allow ourselves to think that God is not in our midst. He promised he would see us through, that he would bring us through, and that he would do what he needed to do for the salvation of America. And that's what you guys want, right? Okay, so the next one is Nazism. At some point in time, Nazism is going to come to America for a little bit. I don't know when, and I'm glad that I don't. But it is going to come to America for a little bit. When we get to the end of the path where the Antichrist has won most of the world, we are going to be the last vestige of his efforts. America will be the last nation touched by the Antichrist. And so we won't be here. If we are going to be here, we won't be here long, because it will be at the very end of his reign. And this is because we have prayed for 15 years for God to forgive America. If we had not been faithful to our prayers, my dear friends, how many of you come to the gatherings? Your prayers have made what I just said possible. You must know what it does to the heart of God to be able to defer all of that suffering from the American people. Because you have prayed, you have stood in the gap, you're going to see the power of God released. You're going to see this part of his nature and character of what he will do to a nation and for a nation that prays. And we're not, you know, at this point in time, we're not even talking about the whole army of intercessors. We're talking about just a small group of hundreds of the intercessors and those who are with us in Joel's army and pray week to week. God is listening to the prayers. He is hearing the repentance, and he is healing the land, even though it doesn't look like that right now. Just think about this. If you've got cancer in this time, this space of time, they still don't have the ability to remove that cancer. If they do have it, we haven't heard about it, right? To remove that cancer without open surgery. Somehow there has to be invasion, right? Through a wound of some sort to take the cancer out of the body. And God works the same way. He invades. He creates a wound. He invades. Jesus came to me and showed me this many, many years ago. He invades. And he opens a wound. He opens it right where he needs to open it to let all of the corruption and all of the poison out. And it will just spill out like a river. Sometimes for a long time if it's really bad. And it will seem like Jesus has abandoned. And the person that has been opened, or the nation that has been opened, it seems like God has abandoned. Like he's not even paying attention to all the suffering from his wound. But he hasn't abandoned. The angels stand by, and they watch the gaping wound, and they watch the pouring out of the corruption. When it's over, Jesus comes back, he pours in his blood to bring healing to the interior of the wound, sews it up, and things are better than new. This is how he works. At least it's one of the major ways that he works. Sometimes it's not that dramatic. But when it's really important that he gets down to the foundational things so that he can really do a work with a nation, he will do this. But he's also going to pour out revival during this time. So, as a friend of mine always says, it's like a double-edged sword. And it is. Where he is bringing discipline, it's wonderful if we've come to a place that he can also bring the praise of revival and the glory of his son. But part of this is going to be at some point in time, and again, I don't know when, but at some point in time, Nazism is going to try to enter in. It won't last long because it's not. I had another vision when I was sitting here in the chair tonight, and I saw the American flag. It was waving in the air when it became almost transparent. And as it became almost transparent, I saw the Statue of Liberty. Now, Christians know that that's not really a good sign. But most of America looks at the Statue of Liberty as an icon of promise. And that's what he was trying to say. Liberty belongs to America. I will bring America to liberty. I have decreed America's liberty. That doesn't fit with Nazism, right? So that tells you it's not going to last very long. But you need to, as intercessors, start praying against it. Because this is man's plan, it's not God's. Also, chemtrails. How many of you know the dangers of chemtrails? I just like that most of you are informed. Well, the chemtrails are not benign. They're not benign. Chemtrails, I won't go through the whole vision because it would take too long. But he showed me in our last gathering that the chemtrails will destroy not just America, but the whole world. It would be unlivable to be in the earth in 20 years if God does not intervene. There is so much destruction in the chemtrails that it's like a person in advanced stage of cancer. There isn't anything in the earth that isn't affected by it. I won't go through the whole vision because it would take too long. But after the Lord showed me in the vision where we were headed with these chemtrails, I got back home from our gathering and I decided to do some research. Well, you don't have to look very far, and the scientists are telling you 20 years max. So pray against the chemtrails. Don't stop praying against them until God removes them from our skies. And he has promised me that with prayer, he will do that. So you're going to pray, right? Okay, man's natural disasters. The elite have plans for terrible things in the earth. You stand in awe learning what they're planning. You stand in awe because you think, where do they plan on living after everybody else is gone? Because they're destroying the planet they say they want. They want to utterly destroy everything while they hide away in, I don't know, mountains. I don't know every place that they're hiding. I know some. Anyway, they want to hide away while they destroy the rest of the earth, thinking that when it heals itself, they'll come back and they'll have it all to themselves. And that's because they don't understand God, that they can believe that. Amen. God is going to let some of their plans succeed. How many of you came to be with us in Seattle? I think it was in 2011 when we prayed against the West Coast, all that stuff in the West Coast. The elite had many things planned, and believe me, it would have happened. Everything would have happened had we not prayed and repented of the things that we needed to pray and repent over. And closing those doors through repentance is what spared the West Coast. Does that sound like a God that wants to let them utterly destroy the earth? That would have been a horrible time And my goodness, hundreds of thousands of souls would have been lost had God not intervened. He's so good, isn't he? He does it in such a way that you just have to stand in awe. No one can take the credit or the glory. We can say we prayed, but the goodness of God on the other side said, it's not time. I'm not going to let them do this. So I want you to know that every natural disaster that gets through are those disasters that the Lord is allowing for the sake of our cleansing. Can you accept that? Next is drought. I can remember many years ago, I was taken up into the heavens, not, you know, heaven, but the heavens. And I was taken by an angel, and we flew across the United States. And everything I saw looked like Joel 1. It was drought. It was devastation. I saw cattle and so on laying on the landscape, dead or dying. It was hard pressed to find water anywhere. The trees were dead and dying. I mean, it looked horrible. It was drought, serious and severe drought. But you know, God is good. He's just good. Drought is what man planned and could have done. They could have accomplished it, except God. And the Lord told me, I will intervene, Nita, against their plans. Now, we are fighting drought in certain places, aren't we? Our headquarters is still in California. My daughter is still in California. And they had wonderful rain about a week ago. And she called me and sent the picture of the rain pouring into Fresno. She was so happy she could hardly sleep. God's going to heal California. These places that were suffering drought, God is going to intervene. We're not going to see anywhere near the caliber that the elite wanted to give us. Isn't that a wonderful praise, God? He's so kind. He's so good. You know, for all the sin that we've been involved with, we don't deserve his intervention. But he's just a forgiving God, and he's a loving God. And he's a God with a plan. Can you write that down? He's a God with a plan. And so he's made a way where there seems to be no way. I can remember in our very first gathering in Florida when I had a vision before the very first meeting. And in this vision, I saw, some of you may have heard this before, but I saw a woman laying on an operating table. A doctor came with a surgical knife, cut her womb open, pulled the baby out, did surgery on its heart, completed that, and put the baby back in the womb. Now, at the time that I had that vision, there was no such thing. What is it called? I've got it down here someplace. Yes, if you can read that. That's what it's called. But at the time I had the vision, they didn't have anything even close to that going on. And so one of my friends who is a doctor, when I described what I saw, said, You know, when you had that vision, medical science didn't know about it. But now they're doing it. When I had this vision, the words that the Lord gave me, that he spoke in the vision, said to me, because of the work of the gatherings, America will never know. America will be like this baby. This baby will never know what it has just gone through to be saved. Even so, America will never know all that the elite have planned, because it will be saved. I just think it's amazing when he shows me things that have not yet been, to make a point for me to be able to hang my faith on. Then when they start doing the things that he is told me is coming, it again enlivens my faith, right? So now I give that to you. The elite have planned many things, and God's going to interrupt their plans. Just like that baby having that surgery, too young to know what's going on. America is not going to know the depth that the elite have planned, because God has provided for surgery that will bring forth healing of this nation. Next, economic crash. They want to restructure Europe. This is the elite. They want to restructure Europe and weaken the West. And that's what this crash is all about. They don't have to do what they want to do by first crashing the economy. They don't have to. They want to, because they want to restructure Europe. That is the main thing of their on their agenda. Secondly, they want to weaken the West so that they can own it all, they think. It's going to be, I wish I could be in an amphitheater with all the elite there in the seats, waiting to hear what they needed to hear. And when their plan gets just discombobled, and they know that it's all been ruined, I'd love to see the look on their face. And when they realize that not only has their plan been destroyed, but they've just been caught, I would love to see the look on their faces. The shock, the horror, the what? Yeah, the disappointment, terrible disappointment. Wouldn't you? You guys could all be on the stage with me, you know, looking at them. And on top of everything else, you've just been caught. I just think God has such a sense of humor. You know, in America, we sometimes use this analogy, you know, pulling the carpet out from under you. God always does it at the last minute. He really is the last minute God. And, you know, if you look back like this, you're going to see Jesus knelt down, and he'll wave at them like this. That's what he'll do. He'll wave at them, smile, and then that carpet's coming out from under their feet. And, oh, they fall like a bunch of bowling pins. I think he's so funny. He's got such a sense of humor. And he really does. He has the most wonderful laugh. I mean, you guys are sounding great. I love hearing you laugh. But Jesus has the most wonderful laugh I've ever heard out of anyone. It's just so electrifying. It's so, you can't help but laugh with him. It's just wonderful. Okay, they're going to try to poison the water. But men and women of faith, what are you going to do? Right, and you're going to believe, like Elisha did, that the water will be healed. Right? Good. I know what book you've been reading. All of this going on with Iran, pray against it. Pray against it. Just get Ayatollah so upset, he won't let it go through. Let our Congress get so upset, they won't let it go through. Because really, this is set to be the betrayal of the Arab world. And the hope is to get the Arab world so upset that they will attack Israel and join in the attack against America. That's their plan. So, isn't that funny that they would come against, that they would do what they've done with Iran for the express purpose of betraying the Arab world? Isn't that, I mean, if you've looked for the betrayal of the Arab world and you've wondered, what in the world could they do? I mean, really, what could they possibly, well, you just found it. So pray against it. Amen. Okay, ISIS. I wrote in an article a while back that a group will arise that is the equivalent of ISIS, if not ISIS itself. And they would be a threat to the whole world. The angel came and got me, took me to nations all over the earth. And I saw some nations literally void of human beings because they had all been killed by this group. So I want to invite you to pray against ISIS. You're going to have a good prayer list by the time we're done. Amen. Chemical warfare, we've known about that for many years, and we're in it, primarily with the chemtrails. We put C above, I think. There we go. Because I've already mentioned the chemtrails. But this chemical warfare, I mean, it's going to happen and by other means as well, but also by the chemtrails, because they can do so much in so little time. Pray against those chemtrails. Their plan is to bring America into the third world status. They also have plans to incite a race war, and guess with who? Doesn't take much to figure that out, does it? But I want you to know the reason why they're having so much difficulty succeeding in this is because of all the years that we've spent in the gatherings praying and repenting over the white man's sin against the African American. Because we have spent so much time repenting and praying over it, God has held this thing at bay. How much he's going to let go through, I don't know. But I'm telling you, we would have been in the midst already for quite a while. One friend of mine saw several cities in a state of conflagration when revival started. And with all that is going on now and all their efforts to try to create a race war, he's thinking that that's why the cities were burning. Whatever is going to happen, it's not going to be what the elite wanted. You've got to know that by how, I mean, think about this church situation that just recently happened, where the young man went in, killed several people. And how did the African Americans respond to it? love. Love. It was amazing. It amazed the media. They could not believe what they were seeing. And I don't want to sound like we're taking credit for everything, because it really isn't that. When you obey the Lord, who really gets the credit? He does. He knows how to put the oil of Gilead on the wound to keep it from becoming poisonous. He knows what to do and how to do it. When we started interceding on behalf of the African American people, I didn't even know the stuff that had happened. I grew up in the North, and they just didn't talk about it. So I didn't even know. I thought that slavery meant they got paid just low wages. I didn't know what it meant. And as the Lord began to give me visions and help me locate the information, it was so painful. I would just double over in gut-wrenching tears. I couldn't believe that any human being could treat another human being like I was seeing. It was so horrible. God could let our nation fall into the sea for what we've done. Amen? But he's not going to. And he is going to bring complete healing to the races of this nation. He is going to do it. He is. I don't care how impossible it seems, he is going to do it, because he loves the white and he loves the black. He loves the Asian. He loves every race in this nation. So he is going to bring unity. He is going to bring healing. He's going to bring a kind of healing that has never been before. It's going to be a complete healing. Isn't that exciting? We are coming into a time that we have endured the chastening, and he will heal and deliver. Our sins will be as snow. What man meant for evil, God will work for good. Now, let me tell you just a very little bit. What time is it? We are going to go through a bit of discipline. It's not going to be comfortable, but God will get us through. You just stand in faith. You stand in hope. He loves his church. He loves the Jewish people in this country. And he loves America. He has a plan for us. And the prayers of the saints will position us to be able to receive the blessings of those plants and actually be a part of bringing them about. He is going to help us. He is going to heal us. We're going to be a different America than we are today. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, America was really innocent. I mean that. America was an innocent nation. And that's, he has given me so many visions that's what he's going to bring us back to. Two visions were given of America going down because of the activity of the elite. We were going down into a hole. I'm not going to tell you both visions. I'm just going to tell you the point of the two visions so that we can make this a little quicker. But in both visions, intercession drew the hand of God down into that hole and brought the nation back. A whirling vortex going deeper into the hole. But God brought the nation back. We're going to endure a little bit, but intercession is going to lift us out. And I said to my staff, they said, what is going on here? And I said, this is God's deliverance. And they said, well, this is beautiful, but how is all of this happening? And I said, I don't understand it all yet. I just know we're watching the beginning of God's deliverance. And what he told me is that he was going to bring intercessors to this place. They were going to come here from all over the nation. He was going to raise up people who have held money in reserve, wealthy people who love America, who have held money in reserve because God told them to many years ago. And he told them that this money was to be held until he revealed the one that would help this nation be retrieved. And they have come to realize that the work we're doing is for that purpose. And so they're going to support it and help intercessors get here so that they can pray for the nation. So we can pray for America's complete reversal. This is really exciting, isn't it? I just think it's really exciting also that men and women have actually put money aside for many years to be a part of the healing of the nation. That just blesses me. Okay, George Washington, the vision for a month, the month-long vision, there you go. Could you imagine, listen to this now, could you imagine having a vision around the circumference of your head 24/7? For 30 days. Could you imagine what that would feel like? A vision in active mode. So it isn't just like this solitary vision. The people are talking. How distracting. The people are talking. They're moving about. It's like watching television. 24/7, all around your head. And this is what I saw. Men and women dressed in the garb of the 1700s. And what they were doing was discussing among themselves the new government of America. They were discussing about what needed to be done, how they were going to make it happen, and what it would cost to make it happen. 24/7, around the circumference of my head. If you don't think that that was not distracting, it was very distracting. And probably most people would have a hard time believing it. I would too, except it happened to me. But whenever the devil tries to tell me this isn't going to happen, this is what I come back to. Because I know what a miracle it is, even as a prophet, to be walking in the spirit of revelation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for an entire month. Wherein God is saying, this is what is happening even now. Amen. This is already happening. It's going on, and it's going to continue until the new government is put in its place. Number four, God's plans. These people are called the loyalists. And when the elite think they've got America, we're going to get to meet these people. Because they've been waiting. They've been waiting for the perfect moment to take this nation back. They exist. We don't know who they are because they're staying hidden. They have to, or they wouldn't be able to fulfill their plans. I saw a second vision when I saw the Minutemen. You remember the Minutemen?
Yes.
I saw the Minutemen running across the ground, coming to like a shed, a huge shed, where there were, what did they carry, muskets? Where there were muskets in this shed, running to the shed. And they went, they got to the shed, one of the men opened the door of the shed, and it exposed all these muskets. And everyone, as they're running to the shed, I could feel their hearts. And their hearts were absolutely, utterly filled with joy. There was not a fearful bone in their body. They weren't concerned about anything. They were just filled with joy because they knew that this was the moment that God was going to give America back to its people. So you have the fighters who are the loyalists, and you have the diplomats. You have the people who will be tomorrow's politicians, who were going to put into order the new government, the new republic. You're thinking, right?
Yes.
That's what one pastor's wife told me. I said, you know, your people are very quiet. She said, it's like dropping gold bombs. Just about everything you say, what do you want us to do? It takes a minute for it to go in and sink in. And before we've done it, you're dropping the next bomb. So these things are going to happen. And when you see them happen, don't think God has forsaken you. Say in your heart, this is his deliverance. He is answering our prayers. We don't have to be afraid. God will protect his people. Say, God will protect his people. Number five, there's a new currency coming. Wow, gazelle. You didn't know that, right? But God's going to have his hand in it. I can tell you more about that maybe on the 7th. We won't go into detail on that. I've seen the currency. I've seen what's behind it. All this kind of stuff from the Lord. So I'll share it with you, but not tonight. Okay. The New World Order is coming down. We may have to fight. I don't know at what point the thing is going to be broken. All I know is that they can't have America. And I also know that the prayers have to keep happening. Amen? Okay, what will it take to bring us through? Prayer and change. America must fight for her sovereignty and her righteousness. In God, we trust. That's the way it has to be. He's not going to raise up a new America to the devil. In God, we must trust, and he's willing to help make that happen by pouring out revival and winning the hearts and the souls to himself. But it takes prayer, and it takes a lot of it. God has used me twice in a pretty major revival both times. One time it was in a Bible school. We had awesome miracles. And another time up here in a tri-city area in Idaho. And it went on and on and on. Awesome miracles. It was fantabulous. Mega fantabulous. It was awesome. But it took lots of prayer to get it to that explosive point and to keep it going. So the intercessors really need to pray for revival, because this is God's best for America. He is going to do it. It may not seem like it is, but he is going to do it. Okay, I'm going to put this aside, and I'm going to quickly go through one more thing. Have I given you too much? This is just to prove to you that God has a plan. Elite, pull the pinwheels out, honey. He has a very deliberate plan for this nation. What I'm going to show you very quickly first is the elite's plan. Finances and economics, they're going to give us new finances and economics. Isn't that sweet? We know that if the elite are tied to it, they're going to make more money. That's the only reason they want to do it. But I'll talk to you more about that in August. Okay, the government and the military, well, it all belongs to them right now anyway. But remember that rug? It's already happening. The military, there are those who are 100% for the Illuminati, for the New World Order. But there's a massive amount of high-ranking military people that are not for it. And they fully intend on bringing that garbage down. Science and technology, well, they're about 40 or 50 years ahead of us, ahead of the rest of the world. What they have, what they know, what they have developed makes us feel like we're in the dark ages. If we could just know how far in advance they are of the rest of the world. And their intent is to bring this out when they cleanse the world of the unwanted. Business. They're already making the new laws to guide their business efforts. What do we call it now? Obama trade? It's just part of it. NAFTA, just part of it. So business is going to continue morphing until we don't even know business from today. Until God, well, can we just say until God? Then law, well, we're seeing every year how much law has changed in this nation. It doesn't even remotely resemble law of old. What does Karen call it? Rule of law. Yes. Rule of law. That's what we need to come back to, so write that down on your prayer list. They also have philanthropy, NGOs, secret societies, health and medicine, well, Obamacare, health and medicine. Well, maybe we should just say medicine. Energy and resources. I was thinking this morning, somewhere out there, someone has invented energy that we could connect to our homes that would not be so noisy as, what do they call those machines? Yeah, so noisy as generators. They would be so quiet. Somewhere, that has been invented. That all of your you know, all of your technology, all of your appliances and everything could be run by it. Where it is, I don't know. But it's already been created, I can promise you. They're so far ahead. Then you have religion, and, well, look at India, and that's their religion. That's what it would do if they could have their way. Look at India. 300 million gods in India. Education and history. And of course, probably all of you already know that they have rewritten history. They've rewritten history 3 times. And they're in the process of doing it again. Oh, yay. Then media and culture, well, that's kind of self-explanatory. Okay, next page. Restructuring of America. There you go. And what do you see up there at the top? Boy, that feels good, doesn't it? New finances, new economics. This is what God's going to do in the restructuring of America. New finances, new economics, new government. Remember the 24/7 for 30 days, new government. And it's going to be the government of the republic, the new republic. So this new government is going to be based on the Constitution. I want to tell you something to comfort your hearts. The Lord has the Constitution in heaven. It's protected, and it's written in gold. And that is going to be sent back to the earth. Up to this point, the occult has really infiltrated our military. But the day is coming that that's going to be removed. God is going to claim the military for himself. Science and technology, he's going to invade that field. You know, the Bible tells us to stay away from science, but there is a safety net that he creates if we'll give it to him, so that we can have the benefits of the inventions, the discoveries, without the dangers. Business, it will be a new form of business. And businesses, I had a dream once about Costco, and I won't go through the whole dream, it would take too long. But there was a point when the owner, the CEO of Costco, came to hear a better plan for doing business than today's plans. And he was so touched by it, it was actually something that was old, brought back to the economy. He was so touched by it, he changed everything at Costco. And it's going to be the business of the future. Law and justice system. Well, that's where rule of law is going to come in. God is going to restore rule of law in America. You can write that down. Start praying for it. Start praying over the justice system that God will reinvent, recreate his justice in this nation. That's one of the reasons we've been judged. Okay, philanthropy. Well, praise God. It's always good. It is done in a godly system. So God is going to save that. There will be round tables, but they will be righteous round tables. And this time we can say health and medicine. Energy and resources. I'm telling you, there are miracles out there. I'm telling you. And we're going to see them. God's going to bring them to the forefront to help the world. Education and history. He took me inside. He took me inside of a building that was a brand new school. I walked into the office of this school and talked to the president. And I said to the president, you know, it would be really great if we could just really have a truly Christian-based education in this country. And she said, it is great. And I said, how do you know? And she said, because we're doing it here. She said, I want to take you into the very depths of this school and show you what's happening. And the more we walked into like the inner sanctums of that school, you could feel the holiness of God pulsating. And the intelligence, the knowledge, the education, what they were bringing forth in the children was inconceivable. Our schools are in such bad shape right now, but I'm telling you, there was a new education system being written for the whole world, any that would receive it. When they were bringing forth Christ-based, faith-based education, it took them into such a place in God where knowledge and understanding and wisdom was being filtered into these kids, and their mental ability was escalated so high that, you know, maybe I could go so far as to say that what they were learning, if they were, say, in third grade, they were learning what a fifth grader would learn. Their minds had been so expanded, but in holiness, do you understand? In holiness and in righteousness, you could feel the purity in the entire system. When she took me through all of this, I said, this is phenomenal. When did you start this? And she said, just recently. It's only been in the last couple of years. But what it will produce, the world has never seen before. Can you pray that in? More work, right? I tell them at the gatherings, you know, one of the reasons I love them so much is because they're the only people that pay so much money for their airfare to get there. They take time off work, so some of them even lose their wages for a week. And they spend all this money on hotel and food so that they can work for a week. And believe me, anyone that's in this room can tell you, they work. Okay. Media and culture. Well, I think that's self-explanatory. Then industry, agriculture. The elite are trying to destroy the industry in America, the agriculture in America. But God's going to take it back. Yeah. And we are going to meet the needs of the poor. Yes. You have to have that if you want God's blessing on a nation. You have to meet the needs of the poor instead of destroying the poor. Amen. And we're going to be a sovereign nation versus a global player like they want. And what does it all equal? The light of the Lord. Okay, I think the next one I'll just talk to you about in August. I wanted to give you this tonight because I want to give you hope. I want God to fill your hearts with hope. Regardless of what happens this fall, and it could get really rough this fall, but regardless of what happens, God is in control and he's in the process of answering your prayers. I absolutely refuse to let you be faithless. You cannot be faithless. We need your faith. America needs your faith. So God is going to do it. He may not do it the way we thought he would do it, but I can promise you whatever he's going to allow, it is in no way going to compare to what the elite were going to do, because you have prayed. I just think that's so exciting, my friends. My sisters and brothers. So we'll meet together August 7th, and we will discuss further where God is going. And after that, you have to meet me at the gathering. Amen. I love you very much. Thank you for coming out because you love America. Fight for her. Fight for her. Those who are online, don't shut down until you hear me say what I just said. Fight for America. It will be worth it. Can I just say one more thing before I turn you over to our Tim? When Jesus appeared to me so many years ago and commissioned me to do the work of the gatherings, he had been trying to tell me for 2.5 years that he wanted me to do that. And I kept saying to him, you know, get someone who's got a worldwide ministry out there that is well known. Benny Hinn, get him. We just can't do it on the magnitude that it needs to be. And that's what I said to him for 2.5 years. When he came to me, he interrupted all of my thoughts. And he said to me, there isn't anyone else. You do it or America falls. I said, me? We don't have the outreach that Benny Hinn has, Lord. He said, you don't need to concern yourself about all of that. I am the power of what I'm asking you to do. And I've learned in the process that the smaller you get, the more he reveals who he is. And believe me, this condition I'm in has made me very small. I know we can't do it unless he's doing it in every service. I keep trying to push my team deeper and deeper and deeper into the ways of God and the life of the Spirit. Some want to fight it because they don't understand. But the more that the Spirit is doing the work, the smaller we get. And when he comes forth in his victory, we're going to be singing this song. All the saints and the angels bow before you. And the words that they will be singing. It hasn't been easy. It's been very difficult, very challenging. But it's changed me. I'm not the person I used to be. My knowledge and understanding of the goodness of God is so far deeper than it used to be. I wish I could let you feel what I feel in my heart. Every one of you would do whatever it took to come and be a part of the gathering. Because you would want to be able to touch the one that's going to heal our land. You'd want to be a part, being one of those that have paid the price to let Jesus be glorified again in America. And for those of you who have to stay home. There's no way to get to the gathering, but you pray. Oh boy, your reward is great. I'll tell you one more thing, then I'll let you go. An angel appeared to me several years ago while we still lived in NOLA. And he said to me, Nita, it's been very hard for you. All of us in heaven know. But God has something so great that he's birthing through the work of the gatherings. It's so great that you can't fathom. If I were to tell you everything we know, still, it would be beyond your comprehension. You don't know what you're birthing through all the trouble you are traveling through. It's been a path of affliction, but God is going to reward everyone who has stood by you. Financially, prayerfully, and with their energies. For instance, coming to the gatherings. God has a great reward in store for everyone according to their sacrifice. I stood there in front of this angel and I thought, I can't imagine. I can't imagine anything that's too wonderful to imagine. What could it be? And I just looked at him, dumbfounded. He said, it is true. Be faithful. And I say that to you. You have no idea what your sacrifice is producing in this nation. You don't know any more than I do. But don't give up. Don't give up. I don't care how hard it gets. You don't know what he's going to do. I'll talk to you about some of it August 7th. It is going to be, what I will share with you will be mind-boggling, and I don't know the half of it. My dear friends, intercessors, God love you. You are keeping this nation from complete destruction. God bless you. God bless you. Don't give up.